Hey yo, this is JC
SD live at the Loom.
There is some irony to your first topic. You got me the run sheet, and when I saw it, I didn't realize it until just now. You're gonna trip out. But please, my
so first thing we want to cover. Okay, the first thing we want to cover is Shanquilla Robinson.
Now check this out. Here is the tie-in. I wanted to cover a lot of sports tonight. We're going to mix some in. We are watching the Arizona Cardinals at San Francisco 49ers. And they're playing in Mexico City. That's where the game is tonight.
Wow.
Fill everybody in on Shaquilla Robinson the situation and scenario.
The irony, right? So those of you who don't know, Shaquilla Robinson is a young lady who Mexican police say there's no foul play, but her family believes she was murdered and killed. This young lady traveled to Cabo, Mexico with some friends to celebrate one friend's birthday. Tape shows she was assaulted, like beat up by one of the friends, and later she was found dead.
And her neck was broken.
What was the exact cause of death?
Well, the Mexican police said there's no foul play. But there was an investigation.
I just watched it.
We got Toya right here, y'all. We got Toya.
A black girl, right?
Yes.
I just watched the whole thing about that.
Yeah, that's what we're covering.
This is the live coverage.
Yeah.
Of Bob.
A friend of ours from the loom
popping
saying,
in.
Oh, right. Yes, I am the friend.
She's popping in.
That's BS. Yes. The friends broke her neck and set that ass up.
No doubt.
Some decided opinions on the first topic of the evening, but please continue, sir.
Yeah, so her family did an investigation, got the state involved.
Was blunt force trauma the cause of death?
Head cracked skull, and broken spine.
No foul play, huh?
Yep. I think the Mexican police just don't want to get involved. They were Americans. They were black. Case closed.
Well, there's a couple ways to look at that. Back in my day, you used to be able to go to Mexico with no passport. Okay? You could just, you know, show up in Laredo and go over to Nuevo Laredo.
Right.
Or if you was in El Paso, you know, you go over to Ciudad Juarez.
Right.
You know, San Diego, down to Tijuana. Right? No passport.
Right.
And this was the late 90s. And of course, you know, me and my boys, you know, the ill posse. Right? You know, we go down and, you know, we're getting it in. You know, we're going to Boys Town. Right? You know, a little rite of passage. You know, for us Texans, right? And, you know, it's a good time had by all. You know, I got two guys of beer down there, right? I got Corona and Dos Equis. Now, Dos Equis is the good shit. That's $2 a beer, or it was. Corona's a dollar beer. So you always get the Dos Equis.
Right.
Excellent beer. I like Dos Equis. We had a little birthday party the other night, me and you, and you saw I was drinking Dos Equis.
Right.
And anyway, you eat some tacos, you know what I'm saying? You make a few genetic material deposits, if you will,
right?
But it's all in good fun. And shortly thereafter, things started happening with cults down there. They started taking young, good-looking Americans for their brains, for this ritual sacrifice, Matamoros, and that whole thing, right?
Mm.
And so it's like, okay, you know, gotta be on alert now, right? Can't just, you know, it's not just in and out, and you know, you gotta watch yourself, right? Especially when you're in that demo, and we were all young, good-looking cats at the time.
Right.
And so they kind of amped it up. Then, after a while, it was, you know, because I had friends that were working down on the radio that, you know, were in the cable business, you know, broadband, whatever.
Right.
And they would go over there for lunch. You know what I mean? Pop in for lunch. You know what I mean? Just like going to a bar or whatever. And nobody cared what you brought in. Nobody cared when you got in. When you left, where you from? Like from the United States.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, as long as everything was on the cool, they let you back in. Well, At some point in time, post 9/11, you had to have a passport to go over to Mexico now. Right, at that point,
no longer, because I was in Mexico not too long ago.
And so, you know, that in and of itself says that the regulation is more wrapped up. Now, listen, you were talking about the reasons as to why you didn't feel like an exhaustive investigation was done. Now, it's not that they're not valid reasons, but it's in their best interest for Americans to be able to go down there, have fun, and leave.
Right.
Tourism drives the economy, especially in places like Cabo. Okay. So it's in their best interest.
I get that part. Right.
But now, the facts are, they're saying no foul play.
Exactly.
And it sounds to me, without knowing all the facts, like, it's a little early to be ruling out foul play. Right. Talk about multiple blunt force injuries, multiple blunt force trauma.
A broken spine.
It's like, oh, she fell. Okay. But then you see this person, and there's evidence of, as you were saying, and I'm getting information from you.
Right.
That there was, she had some people antagonizing her.
Well, she had one girl, shows on video, one of the girls, it was a group of friends, mixed boys, co-op, boys and girls. Then a couple of guys and about four or five girls. On video, it shows one of the girls beating the crap out of her, and Shanquilla looks unconscious. She looks like she's unconscious. She slumped over.
She's still getting beat.
But still getting beat and kicked by this one girl.
Nobody stepped in to stop
and
this.
You got a guy behind the camera saying, at least fight back, Shanquilla. At least fight
back. And she's KO'd?
And she KO'd, man. She's out of there. Now, the guy, and I mentioned this earlier, the guy sounded like, you know, he's all with it. He bets for the other team.
Didn't step in and say, okay, no, man, she's out.
No.
Now, if you or I were there, we'd have been like, okay, hey, look, it's over.
That's enough.
You know, she's...
Well, actually, if I was there, it wouldn't even gotten that far.
To where she got knocked out.
Where she got
knocked out. This is a little bit too much.
Right. I'm not even going to let them have physical contact.
Listen, she's a beautiful girl. And a lot of times, man, beautiful girls don't have to fight, and they don't know how to fight.
Right. Well, her dad said that. Her dad spoke out. He's like, my daughter doesn't know how to fight. She's not that kind of girl.
You don't know how to fight, you're running somebody that does, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm with you. It's my... And listen, and this is the thing, man. You see, we're both from Texas.
Right.
You know, I had a lot of time spent back east, you know, with my people in the Northeast.
Right.
Right? And I've adopted, you know, some of their style, you know, because, you know, I got a lot of Italian brothers and stuff. And,
right.
You know, but we're Texas boys. And we're not going to allow injustice to go too far.
Nah, we're
just not. Because, you know, back east, it's like, well, don't get involved when you face liability and all this.
Yeah, it didn't go down.
That's not my problem and all that kind of stuff. Look. At some point, man, if somebody is helpless and taking a beating, I'm stepping in and saying, hey, man, you proved your point. It's done. I've done it before.
Right.
I've done it before. I was at CVS one night, and not the one down here, but it was on the east side, Lake Highlands. And this guy staggers out of CVS. His elbows are shredded to where you can see bone. And he's all fucked up. He's like, hey, man. Call doctor, staggering out. And I just got out of the car, right? And these two cats run out after him.
Right.
Right? And I'm like, whoa, hey, man, you proved your point. Right? And it's one on two.
Right.
You know, and I'm a pretty good sized guy. I got some pretty good hands. I've been in many scrapes in my life. One more than I lost. Okay? You know, I can handle mine.
No doubt.
One on two, man, I mean, there's no guarantees in that. I'm not saying I'm that bad of a cat, you know, but.
You can protect yourself.
I felt at that point in time to say, hey, whoa, hey, man.
Right.
You guys proved your point. All right, and you know what's going to happen. You proved your point. Y'all are in Lake Highlands. Yeah, up the street is the rugged part, but just on the other side, like so many big cities
in
America, right? Like the hood is right by the affluent side, right? It's like you, it's a street borders it, right?
There's a lot of spots like that.
Yeah, LA is like that. You know, you got, you know, West Hollywood, right, which is raw, right? And then you got Beverly Hills.
Right.
So, you know, I felt the need to say something. And like I say, it's just, you go with your instincts in that. But back on the topic of this young lady, the beautiful young woman, she's 25, man. I mean, come on. That's not long enough of a life to live for someone like her. And you can imagine, right, we desensitize, or entertainment and the media desensitizes death a lot.
Right.
But it's still death, man. It's finality.
Right.
It's someone's daughter.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. You know, beautiful or not, she's 25. It should really kind of all be out in front of her. And I think we're going to obviously learn about more about stories that unfold. But to say no foul play when you had evidence, of course, think about it. If you're knocked out, right, and thank God I've never had this happen to me. When you're knocked out and you're taking punches, the worst kind of blows that you can take are what? The ones that you cannot prepare for.
Right, the ones you don't see.
If I come up to the side of you and spur you and you can't prepare for it, it's going to be worse.
Oh, yeah.
And if I square off with you and hit you and you're like, all right, yeah, you know what's coming.
Right.
You're at least awake and cognizant and can at least flinch and recoil and try to brace yourself for it, right?
Let me intercept right there. You said something very
interesting. Terrible story, bro.
You said something very interesting, though, that I wanted to touch on anyway. You said she's a beautiful girl.
Well, that shouldn't matter.
No, listen, I want to touch on that. Because as a society, I think maybe consciously or subconsciously, we give more attention to the beautiful people.
No doubt. Absolutely.
And
unequivocally, no doubt.
And especially if it's a beautiful white girl, she's going to get a lot of attention.
This is also true.
She's going to get the most attention.
This is also true.
Okay, then you go down the line to a Hispanic or Mexican and black. If they're beautiful, they're going to get more attention than the heavyset girl.
That crossover appeal. Beautiful. You can't help but notice.
Like, we have to get this attention.
Now all of a sudden you care.
Right. So I asked someone, I was like, do you think Chinquilla's story would be heard if she was 300 pounds and not so beautiful?
I don't think so.
But I think subconsciously, her family wouldn't even search for justice. I think our family members, our own family treat us differently depending on how we look, or our personalities, or depending on how we look. Now, I think we're treated differently.
Maybe.
Subconsciously, bro, I think so.
But
I think so, bro.
I don't know. I cannot say what they would have done, but I don't give a rat's ass. My kid won't, and he goes down like that.
Right.
I like my beautiful Sicilian grandmother used to say, you can always tell us at the family reunion what you've been living with.
Right.
You know, right. I looked around like, man, you know, wow, our little group is good-looking. But it's still family, and yes, I think you're absolutely right in that, and I think that also, too, yes, I hate to say it, okay, I think that there is a racial element, because all the while, you remember Elizabeth Smart, right?
Right. Yes.
Thing that happened with her.
That's who crossed my
mind. At that same time, you know, there was a 9-year-old black girl in Philadelphia that got held captive and broke out on her own.
Right.
Nobody said shit. Family Guy did a bit about it, right?
Right.
Like, the school bus full of black and brown crashed, everybody died. And there's a white person. That's not even news, is it?
Right.
It's horrible to joke about that.
But McFarlane
cuts right to it.
Yeah.
You know, he knows what it is. It's not even news.
Right.
Which is terrible to joke about, but it's almost factual. And I want let's go back a little bit, okay? And think about this. This is really intense. Do you remember A Time to Kill?
Yeah.
McConaughey and Samuel Jackson,
right? It's one of my favorite movies.
It's an outstanding movie. At the end, he's telling this story and he's in tears about this little girl. And if you're watching it for the first time, I was in tears.
Right.
Right? It's if I'd have been telling the story, I would have been in tears telling it.
Right.
Then he says, now, imagine if she was white.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow.
That's how he had to pull on that jury's emotional cord.
That's what great movies give us.
Yes.
Is some sort of anomaly,
right.
a counterintuitive flipping of the script,
right.
Or whatever, something that you never would have thought of. That's what movies, really good movies, I believe, give us something that we never would have thought of being said or being done.
Right.
That's why they're movies.
Right.
Right? But back to what you were talking about, I think it's look, a young girl, man.
Yeah, man. For the Mexican police 25. To try to cover this up, man, I just don't think it went down like that with a young, beautiful white girl, man.
And to me, they're going about it the wrong way. And that, I think, it's like, think about it. When you have an issue, right, with another country, another neighborhood,
right?
Okay, people clicked off by the sovereignty of a nation or just a neighborhood, okay? Plus, Grove has a beef with Oak Cliff.
Right.
Somebody from PG goes to Oak Cliff, and there's a problem.
Right.
Well, the cats of Pleasant Grove are like, look, this shit right here is unacceptable. You Oak Cliff motherfuckers know who did this. And it's just an example.
Right.
And so, at that point, the Oak Cliff guys are like, yeah, we do.
Right.
We do. They're the ones that are going to get to the bottom of it.
Right.
They're the ones that have the knowledge. Same thing in Mexico.
Right.
They're the ones, like, look, if they, and what I'm saying is, if they really wanted to ramp this up and do press, you know, do a press conference, listen, this is not going to stand. We are going to get to the bottom of this, period. With the inference being, you can come down here and spend your money.
Right.
Don't worry about it. This is an anomaly. It's not something that happens all the time, and you know what? We're gonna not only get to the bottom of this, we're gonna take steps to make sure that no shit ain't anywhere remotely close to this ever happens again.
Right.
But they're choosing to take a different position. I mean, it makes you wonder how they themselves and those in power feel about the United States. It brings me to, and I don't want to get into this, but it brings me to Brittany Griner. Why, you know, Russia's, you know, like, she broke the law.
Right.
That's how it goes over here.
Right.
Like, we don't give a shit. We live with weed like hell.
Right.
We don't give a fuck.
Right.
But we don't care. Now, part of it is, yeah, man, they're waging a war against Ukraine right now. And they feel like everybody's their enemy. Well, yeah, man, you start a war against one of your neighbors, man, you're kind of an asshole.
But.
Right?
But if Brittany Griner was a beautiful white girl, do you think she would get the same sentence? Or you, do you think...
Do I think? No. Do I know? No, I also don't know.
Now,
but it, do I think? No.
Now it doesn't help her that she's a lesbian too, though.
But then again, Russia seems pretty dug in right now. And the fact of the matter is, this is something that very easily could have gone away by now.
Right.
Right, but Russia's gonna hide behind this by the book shit, and you can't do that here. If you do, that's your ass.
Right.
On and on and on and on. But we all know exceptions can be made.
Well, we
help. And should be made.
Well, also, we help Ukraine. We were supporting Ukraine. They're at war with Ukraine. So why would I free one of your citizens?
They started the shit.
Yeah.
But you're right. You know, I think when you. If your leadership says that they're justified
right. In
doing what they're doing, if Mexico says, you know what, we got our own economy, our population is exploding.
Right.
Is Mexico City now the largest city on the planet? I believe it is, population.
It might be.
I think it's north of 30 million.
Wow.
I think it has overtaken Tokyo and you know, all of the perennial favorites, the New Yorks, the Londons, the Shanghais, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Jakarta Indonesians, you know, Sao Paulo, Brazil. Mexico City is now the most populous. But all the projections back in the day were that, man, Mexico City's growing at such a rapid rate. You know, right now it's, you know, behind New York and behind Tokyo. But, like, give it time. The metro area population is going to be close to 40 million.
Right.
That's more than the state of Texas. The Mexico City proper population. Right, is as big as the state of Texas.
Right.
In terms of numbers.
Right. Let's bring it back. So, and we'll touch on this one from different aspects, man. Shanquilla Robinson. So, it's something very interesting, man. So, she's on this trip celebrating one of these people's so-called friends' birthday party, right? In Cabo, Mexico, right? And I want to get your take on men versus women and friend selection. I think they're totally different. How we approach it. How we select our friends. Who we call a friend. I've been in several relationships where a woman I'm dating may have a few female friends, but she doesn't even rock with them like that. She doesn't trust them all, but she considers them friends. I just don't think men generally rock like that. Like, we call you a friend, we trust you.
You gotta prove yourself.
Yeah.
To me. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's it. Most men.
You know, you gotta prove it. And, you know, it's you treat them as a friend very, very quickly. So you were able to gain my loyalty.
Right.
Because if anybody understands, a dollar is a dollar is a dollar. How hard it is to make a dollar.
Right.
All right. It's me. All of my dollars are set.
Right.
And I was struggling and you didn't know it.
Right. You didn't know it.
You had no idea. Right? But you're showing me acts of kindness. And there's no hint of conditions being attached to it.
No.
And then again, for us, our friendship is very unique. It's less than a year old, but right. yet because we have all this common ground traversed, and because I played ball with the Perkins boys, and I'm gonna gear that just a little bit.
Right.
When you have a commonality with someone, especially when it's a very unique commonality, right. you know that of men in the age range in America from 18 to 39 playing football and pads, okay, that's a reasonable age.
Right.
39 is the high end, right? 18 is the low end. That makes you an adult playing football and pads. Do you know to find someone who has done or is doing that when you include all the leagues, semi-pro, arena, college, NFL, all of them, when you include all of them, basically, take me for instance. If you spread it out equally amongst that group, that demographic, which is roughly 78 to 82 million, those that would fall into the category of being eligible to play.
Right, right.
18 to 39, physically eligible to play, right?
Right, right.
If you take me and spread it out equally and put me in a group with 300 men, I'm gonna be the only motherfucker that did it. So, you have the Purpose Boys, okay? You have me.
Right.
And we, you know, that's our commonality. Saban right. and everyone else. Wait, man, I remember being up in Plano with a friend of mine named Greg, okay? And we played together 1 year in 1997. This was 2012, mm-hmm. right? And he's, you know, I'm the only Italian in the place. He's the only African American in the place. But he's there trying, and I'm there with my chick, and he's there trying to, you know, on the make with, you know, this pretty young white chick.
Right.
So, pure random. I go to a bar, go order a drink, he's sitting there, and I look at him and I say, Slash? And he turns and looks at me, and his eyes get huge. And it's almost like he can be himself, and he jumps up and he gives me a bear hug. And he didn't look like he wasn't trim anymore.
Right.
He picked up some pounds.
Right.
It gives me a bear hug. JC, it gives me a bear hug.
Right.
We have that bond. It's the bond that me and the Perkins boys have. So when you're talking about all these guys, right, and it's coming out, you know, Stevens, you know, Steph Smith headache, and talking about all these guys from the Grove and all that. I know all these guys.
Right.
And I showed you that picture of it's me and the Perkins boys, they're right behind me. So we have a commonality in things that we're doing that are unique. And that on a manly scale, it's all a meritocracy for us, for the men's men.
Right.
So when, you know, me and you were chopping it up and we're talking, and it's like, yeah, man, I like this guy, we're like-minded, right? So, you know, 6 months into it, shit, I physically got your back.
Right.
And the script would have been flipped, I believe you would have done the same thing too. And I never came with it, because we know what we're doing. But there are different things that will pull us to make us friends. Now, when you said that, you were talking about choosing friends differently. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but it did always seem to me like real good-looking girls hung out together.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
And I think that there was part of a selection process. And listen, as fate would have it, I had some real good-looking friends, but way above average, as fate would have it, but then not all of them were like that.
Right.
You know, and that certainly wasn't...
Right.
I'm not sizing a guy. Like, look, you're a good-looking guy. No homo. I'm not sizing you up. That's
right,
not
right,
anything
right,
that's
right,
top
right,
of mind
right,
for
right,
me.
Right. I think we go on energy vibe, the masculine vibe, whatever we're into, common interest, right? The vibe. Can I trust this guy? Would I be in a foxhole with this guy? That kind of thing, right?
Well, women, football and basketball are one and 1A on the block.
I think women are different. They don't look at it like that as far as loyalty and would I be in a foxhole
really
with this
interesting.
Chick. It's like, oh, man, we got on the same shoes. We like the same nail polish. Let's exchange numbers and some weird shit. Like,
I just want to see them talking to each other.
Right.
And another common thread being, well, I'm this, I'm that, because all women want to be wanted.
Right.
And you hear them talking to each other right when they first meet. I got a little inside information on this. I got homeboy wrapped around my finger.
Right.
They both love it.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, I got this motherfucker doing shit for me, too.
Right.
Right? They like that.
Yes, yes.
Right? Because in their mind, and in reality, it's power. But I think that when they go more and more into it, right, I think that they may, as women, start to overestimate that power. Now, think about it. You're a good-looking woman, and a man is doing everything he can to curry favor with you. He's lavishing you with praise. He is spending money on you,
right?
Right. And it's to get inside your life,
right?
Now, once he ultimately gets inside you and your life, what happens then? Who knows? Maybe he generally does want to be with you. But I think that there are times that you will have women, depending on how they were raised, depending on how they look at things, that when they know that they are being courted and all of that, if the man that they are supposed to be in a monogamous relationship with pisses them off, they flex that power.
Yeah.
I say, you know what? I can do this. How about if I do that? And I'm telling you this too. And this isn't to pick on women, but I'm telling you right now, they're way better liars than we are.
Oh, no doubt.
I gave them all that lying shit when I was a kid because I wasn't any good at it. But I have seen so many instances of it. Oh. They are just straight up smooth criminals with it. Now, how does that factor in to how they choose their friends? I don't know, but I do know this. You.
I think they go more on the aesthetics. They look at more materialistic.
I'll tell you what, they're very distrusting of people in their circle.
But they will hang. That's what I'm saying. But they will
sometimes
hang, they will hang out with these people.
They will hang out with all of them.
They'll
and
travel.
All have something to say about each other, right? And then my ex had this posse of chicks, and you know, man, I'm very, very restrained. I don't believe in all of that. You know, crotch on crotch, hugging man to woman, and her friends would openly try to do that to me, and I would just like pull back because I don't want that type of disrespect laid on me. And my girl never did that. But like she would, you know, she would have to say something. Hey, you know, stop getting all handsy with my man. And it's like, you know, it's the line that like, ain't no way on guys, man, I'm across there with you.
No.
I'll meet some woman, shake her hand or whatever, we become close in years now, so I may give her a hug, but it's gonna be a side hug.
Right.
I'm not gonna grab her and pull her close.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so these women have these friends that do this
they still hang out with them. Yes, they will cross the line.
And still hang out with them.
They don't trust each other, but will still hang out with each other.
And me and you could never do that.
Could never do that.
We couldn't, because we're going to...
They have a longing to be a part of something.
When you grow
to
up...
To be in a group.
I think when you grow up as city kids, like we did, you grew up as city kids. I think, and I know for me, that I'm constantly kind of testing and waiting for you to cross that line until I firmly believe that, okay... This is a real cat. This is a real dude. Because once you show me that, you know, you're not gonna pass the test,
right?
Then I know. Okay, yeah, man, we can chop it up, but don't ever ask me for shit.
Right.
Because it's not, you know, we're not, you know, as some cats say, I don't know you like that.
Right.
But if I trust you, man, you got it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you got it.
Yeah.
And if there's anything that I can ever do for you, and I think we both have demonstrated this for each other.
Right.
If there's ever anything we can do for each other, even if we can't do it fully, we'll say, well, yo, man, I can make a move and do this for you
right
now.
Right.
If we can't do it, we will.
But that was established because of trust.
Yeah,
but I don't think
we
women...
We're the same service. It's a very unique friendship.
Yeah, but women don't look at stuff like that, man.
They don't.
Yeah.
They do not. And there's so many reasons that go into it. And I think
it's insecurity. They have a longing to be a part of a group, to be a part of a clan. And I think that's natural for them to feel that way.
And I think that's a natural thing. Yes. And then on the end of that, they want to be part of a clan, but then it reverts back to wanting to stand out in that clan.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, look, and I know some men are like that, but look, bro, if you're crazy successful, I don't give a shit what it is that.
Yeah, I don't think most
I'm happy for
men,
you.
Yeah, most men don't think like that.
I'm thrilled for you, man. I'm not one. I don't know. There's some men that do. I hung out with some haters.
Yeah.
They couldn't wait for me to fail.
Right.
You know, and we were friends, right? And I heard through back channels and just knew because they would pop out about other friends. And I'm like, man, yeah. What, you think I'm so stupid? Now here you are popping off to this dude that we're about to we both know when he's not here.
Right.
Do you think that I think, oh, I'm special, you ain't doing it about me?
Right.
As soon as you do that, I know you're doing it,
right,
you know
right,
what I'm saying,
right,
about me.
If you're
right?
like, if you're talking behind that friend's back, you're going to talk behind my back.
Yes, yeah. It's like, I would never say anything about you behind your back that I wouldn't say to your face. And if it was bad, I would never say it behind your back.
Right, right.
Even if I would say it to your face.
Right.
Somebody brings up Stacey. That's my dude, man. Your boy right there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's my guy. Nothing else to say. I don't have to say anything. That's my dude, man. That's my guy, man. That's my primo, man. That's my paisan. That's my dude. Period. And I'm not going to drift into anything else because that's not my MO. But I do think that, man, you know, you hear these women, right? You know, and you want to take things to face value, you know. You think initially, I've had this happen before.
Right.
You think initially, oh, that's your girl, that's your friend, right?
Right,
you know, that's your homegirl, that's your ride or die, whatever, right? And then they drop them. Well, there's things you don't know.
Right.
And I'm like, on the cool? I really don't give a shit.
Right.
You're the one fucking with it.
Right.
And if you're
that's
fucking with someone like that, yeah, that's your friend. Look, if me and you break up, I'm not going to, try to be cool with her.
Right.
Nah, it's like if same thing, if, you know, you and your girl, right, you have a, like, say, you have a girl and you and her, and I know her and I meet her through you and everything's all cool. Man, if you and her split, I ain't trying to seek her out to hang out with
right,
her. I
right.
got your back.
Right, exactly.
I got your back. And it ain't about me being a jerk to this person, but there's no longer an association at that point.
Right.
Because I'm your friend. I support you in that. Now, there's a lot of layers of that, but at the same time, it almost feels like that saying with women, right? Like, what's that? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer? Look, to me, that's a bullshit saying. You're my enemy, fuck you. Period.
Period.
I'm not fucking with you. I may be civil to you.
I'm the same one.
I may be civil with you, and it might not be static every time we see each other, but there was a cat up here that you were mentioning, and you were like, he's a buster, motherfucker. And I'm like, you know what, man? I don't know. Man, you know what? His whole boy's a buster, too. And it was just coincidence.
It's coincidence.
Right? It was just coincidence. I was like, that dude? I was like, man, he hangs out with the dude, and that dude's a buster, too, and I ain't got no love for that motherfucker.
Right.
At all. Like, I'm not, like, my funny thing is, I was up here, last night, my stand cowboy game. And then I'm sitting out here, and this motherfucker comes out, puts his drink on my table, like he's gonna set it up.
Wow.
I just got up and looked at him and walked away.
Right?
And I already told him that I had words with him.
Right.
You know, he snuffed me initially when I tried to shake his hand like a man. And then he came back trying to be cool. And I was like, nah, man, you know, he was like, I try to shake his hand. He's like, not right now. And I'm like, well, shit, homeboy, not ever. It's not now.
Right.
You know, and basically, he could have reached out, man, my bad. Nah, man, fuck you. Once you said that, at that point, it's done. And it's not necessarily that I'm going to see you, it's going to be static.
Right.
Because
we
talked about being civilized beings and how we're civilized.
Right.
We are. Just don't push it.
Right.
You know, we, listen. The funny thing is, right, you can get in a static with somebody that is not about that life, and it is easier to get out of static with someone that is about that life, because all you gotta say, because like somebody could not be about that life and then come at me and they're just crazy, drunk, stupid brain, and I'm like, hey man, you know, it's about to be, you about to get fucked up out here, and they might not understand that,
right?
But like, if you run into someone that's another hard rock like you, and you say, all you gotta do is say, hey man, you already know it ain't going out like that.
Right.
And then they know.
Right.
And you know that, listen,
set the tone.
It's better off for us not to have this static.
Yeah.
They know that, like, well, damn, if I swing on this guy, he's coming back hard.
Yeah.
And you know it as well.
Right.
You're like, hey man, you know, it's like, it's almost like you say, hey man, I know you're off the block cat, but look man, it's not even going down like that.
Yeah, at all.
So don't try to leverage me.
Right.
And then they know it. And I've had instances like that that happen, and you both just kind of know it. And you let it die, it's better off. Because why? What do we always say, man, with the goons in the loop? Once we ring that bell, man, we can't ring it, and we ain't trying to ring it.
Right.
That's not what we're trying to do, man. I tell my sons, avoid the shit if you can. Avoid it.
Right.
You know, now, sometimes people make you talk to a certain language, but again, these are things that are very, very important to us. And that raw animalism,
right.
You take that out of the mix with women. Because now I dated some bras that could throw down, that could straight up box. The mother of my first son was, man, she was, like, Glenda was cold. Glenda was nice, man. She had real nice hands. But I've also been with, you know, and Glenda's a very, very beautiful woman.
Right.
I've also been with beautiful women that's not even a remote. Shit, the mother of my second son, right, was a chick from the Bronx, and she was fucking stunning with a head turner. But you know what? If it's time to go,
she's ready to go.
Man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah, but shit, Quinn's dad said she wasn't about that life.
But they're not all, but they're not all like that.
Right.
Okay? Whereas when you get into a certain, and you don't have to be street, you don't have to be flamboyant, you could be the most unassuming accountant, librarian, whoever you want to be. But if you'll go for yours and stand up for yourself, as men, now you're over here in our half.
Right.
We respect it. You might not be cool or fly.
Right.
You might have never fought before, but if you, listen, I will fight if I have to. That's going to gain us a measure of respect, you know, for a man that stands his ground. This is something that I can't see coming into play very much at all with women.
Right.
Because they're not really about fighting.
No.
And so, you're talking about something animalistic, and then you're talking about, okay, so then what's their motivation?
Right. So that's why I feel, and I stated this earlier on a video, that I feel like they had beef before they went to Cabo. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if this was planned.
Such a terrible story. It really is.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it was planned. But hey, we're going to change up.
Going to party and having.
Yeah, we're going to change up the move. But hey, RIP to Shaquilla Robinson. I hope she gets justice. And her family gets some peace. Man, changing up gears, switching gears. How about them Cowboys, man?
I tell you what, I watched the game by myself until the very end. I came up here and had a pop. And I am raw when I watch Cowboy games, because I watch football games like I did when I was on the sideline when I played.
Right.
So I'm in my house all alone, right? And if you walk by, you can hear me because I have a pretty loud voice. I'm saying, hell yeah, bust his bitch ass. That's how I watch games.
They can hear you outside.
Like, I'm on
they
the sideline. Yeah, I'm inside the house, and I'm like, let's go, oh, let's go. Big play, oh. Come on, let's go. It's like I'm on the sideline again.
Right.
I can't help it.
Right.
That's how I get into it.
Right.
You know, man, and I submerge myself into it because I love the Cowboys, always have, always will. Now, I'm not one of these guys that says we're going to win Super Bowl every year. In the 90s, I knew that they were. Once they beat Frisco, or once they won the NFC Championship, I was like, oh, yeah, they'll win the bowl.
Right.
Now, it's been so long, I'm not going to sit up here and say they're going to win the bowl until they got a trophy in their hand.
Right.
But yesterday was, I was telling you, pre-show, there were coaches from all around the league that are now analysts and ex-players that were saying this was the best performance by any team this year, period. Minnesota was 8-1.
No doubt.
It has been 61 years since a team that was 8-1 lost by that big of a margin.
Yeah.
61 years since that has happened.
That was crazy.
It's the biggest road win in the history of the
Cowboys. 40-3. That was crazy.
I mean, you know, and the thing is that it was, you're like, okay, so it's 23-3.5, right?
Right.
All right. It's, you know, Minnesota's 8-1. They got pros over there, too. You know, like saying goals, they pay their guys, too. They'll cut it to 23-10. go back and forth. Maybe the Cowboys still win by 11 or 17, but Minnesota's gonna strike back. They never strike back.
Never.
Cowboy, every time they got the ball, they score.
Hey, man, we control the line on defense and offense. We just controlled it, man, from the beginning of the game.
Micah Parsons is, he is a bad cat. Now, we've talked about him, and I just want to say that I do like the LT comparisons. They're the exact same size. They're 6'3", 250.
Yeah,
that's what's interesting about
them.
They
don't have that energy, though. You don't have LT
they
energy.
Are, yeah, that's true, but they are.
Nobody's scared of them.
West, but I tell you what.
Nobody's scared of them.
But they are similar in terms of the way they're relentless. They use their hands, and they're powerful and fast. I'm going to say this. Love Micah. Love him, and he is a red ass. He is a nasty bastard.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go back a little bit, just to try to temper it a little bit. Khalil Mack.
Right.
And J.J. Watt started out like this.
Right.
They were like, oh,
right.
man.
Right.
That's not taking anything away from Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack still having a pretty good year. And J.J. Watt is, you know, he's still in the league, obviously, but it's not.
Right.
It was, you know, J.J. Watt was Reggie fucking White.
Oh, yeah.
You know
oh,
what I'm
yeah.
saying?
Oh,
well, hey, easy.
Yeah.
Hey, look, let me ask you right now. Is J.J. Watt Reggie White? Now, hell no. Hell no, he ain't the minister.
Right.
Hell no, he ain't the minister. Khalil Mack, still very, very good. Voted all pro at two positions in 1 year. That's pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
And he's still going to get double-digit sacks this year.
Right.
But you don't hear about him as much. And the thing is, on Micah makes – Micah don't get garbage sacks.
No.
Micah makes huge plays that are wow.
Oh, no, he's in the mix.
That was pivotal.
Yeah.
Helped you win the game.
Right.
You know, he's not hitting fucking home runs when they're down 9-1.
Right.
He's making plays that are like, oh, that was big.
Right.
That turned the game. And I think he was a little pissed off about last week with Green Bay. I think they all were.
Oh, yeah, they all were.
You know, you didn't hear a whole lot from
Micah. Yeah, we should have won that, man. We laid it in.
Yeah, you didn't hear a whole lot from Micah, and yes, they still should have won.
Yeah.
I tell you what, some bitch was everywhere, and he makes those guys better. Hey, you look at all those guys. DeMarcus Lawrence was already a hell of a player.
Yeah.
All right. Dorrance Armstrong is benefiting from playing with him. Dante Fowler Jr.
Right.
Okay, this is all talk before the season was. The Cowboys lost Randy Gregory. And look, Randy Gregory, on paper, is unbelievable. 6'6", 260, 4'5".
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But he misses so much time. So much time. Meanwhile, every year, Dante Fowler, 6 sacks,
yeah.
8 sacks.
Yeah.
Every year he gets
persistent.
7 or 8 sacks.
Persistent.
And you look at it now. Gregory this year, 2 sacks, $70 million. Dante Fowler, 5 sacks, $5 million. I give Jerry Jones a lot of hell. And that team a lot of hell about their personnel decision, man. But lately, they've been pretty damn good.
Yeah, they've been doing good, man.
And this is the thing about them. It's you want to be able to throw the football and rush the passer in the playoffs. You know, of course, you got to be able to stop and run. But by that time, everybody is pretty good at it. And we'll see. That could still be their Achilles heel. But when you get in the playoffs,
right,
you want two things. Quarterback that can win it for you late, that can throw it. And you want a pass rush that can stop their quarterback because that's what it all comes back to.
I'm telling you, I'm not sold on Dak. I'm just not sold on Dak, man. I don't trust him.
He's got to win more.
I don't trust him.
Got to go further in the playoffs.
Yeah,
got to win more.
Yeah, I just don't trust him, man. But we'll see.
We will see.
We'll see. Hey, we're going to wrap it up. Hey, next week, we're going to touch on the Dallas Mavericks. Me and JC.
Oh, we got to do some basketball.
Next week, we'll touch on them because we got some opposing opinions about how they should build the team or change the team up.
Right.
So we talked about that recently. So we'll touch on that next week, amongst other things.
Goons from the Loon.
Goons from the Loon. Hey, man, we're out. We'll see you next week, 8:30 at the Loon, Uptown Dallas. Peace.